of our next guest, who I saw wearing the goggles yesterday, Alex Anthopoulos, general manager and president of baseball operations for the Atlanta Braves. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you must be getting used to these things.
You know what? I've made sure to try to enjoy 2021 more. Just, you know, you get spoiled or you take it for granted a little bit. And then when you go through what we went through in 21, it's been a really, really challenging year across the board. And a lot of times you didn't think we'd even be in this position. I realize I'm not ever going to take it for granted. I didn't realize that I did that. I thought, you know, I was still locked in and so on, but you just, you know, you realize and you kind of remember what it's like when you're not in it and how awful the month of August and September is. You definitely get spoiled, and hopefully, you know, it's hard to do. But I'm going to try to make sure I enjoy it because you just don't know if it might be the last time. You know, certainly hard to get to the playoffs.
It's not a novel experience for you, Alex. You've been on teams. You've been going to the postseason pretty regularly. But how does it feel different? You know, you kind of alluded to it. This is, you know, we've all been going through weird times the last 2 years, but you guys had one of the more challenging and eventful seasons that you could imagine leading up to, you know, getting into the postseason and now winning a postseason series. Like, how do you compare this to your other trips to the playoffs?
You know, the first time in Toronto obviously was, you know, that was just the way that came about, and winning the division in the AL East, that was really meaningful as well, just because it felt like the mountain that we couldn't get to the top. And look, there were times first few years in Toronto, it's like, am I ever going to see the playoffs? At any point in my career, you start to have doubts. And then obviously you look back at things that you could have done better and mistakes you made, and that's how you get better. And I look back a lot at 2014. I know I got a lot of grief for it at the time, and when I look back, it was right. It was well, yeah, I deserved it. And, but it's just as a young GM, you need to go through some of those things. But I think we were either tied for one of the wild card spots or you were a game up for one of the wild card spots. And, yeah, we didn't save money from a payroll standpoint, and that ultimately falls on me. Valencia was the only deal that we made. But, you know, frankly, I don't think I got it. I don't think I understood it. I don't know that I had the proper sense of urgency. And I think over time and experience and maybe being exposed to more things, whether it's from fan base, ownership, the city, the community, playing meaningful games is important. It's important for the employees of the organization, important for the city, important for the community. There's no guarantee that you're going to get in, but there's something to be said. It's a really amazing, incredible thing. Obviously, you guys have experienced it in Toronto, whether it's the Jays or the Raptors. It's a big deal. I'm never going to take it for granted again. I think, you know, one thing, if we're ever close, Billy Bean is certainly, you know, basically drilled it into my head that if you're close, you're around 500 or you're close and you have a shot and you believe in your team, you should take a shot. There's going to be a bunch of teams that just quit and peel away, and then a few that add, and you can really, it's 2 months of games is a long time, and I don't think I'll ever lose sight of that fact. But again, I needed to fail. I needed to make mistakes to get to this point.
So you're telling me when you were below 500, you just lost Ronald Acuña Jr. for the entire season, that there was never a doubt that you were going to add to this team because you believed that you were going to win the division, because that was an interesting time for your franchise in that division, especially, and the fact that you did make those moves in the outfield, allowing you to go 40-20 since the trade deadline was obviously key to getting into the playoffs and then reaching the NLCS. There was never any doubt. You were never wavering as to your commitment to this team in this season.
Yeah, so a few components. One, on buying, 100%. No doubt at all, not even for a minute. Winning the division, had no idea, right? Like that, you just have no idea how things are going to play out. But in terms of selling, absolutely not. At the time, at the deadline, and no doubt, it looked bleak. We lose Acuña Saturday before the deadline. We lose Ian Anderson the next day with a shoulder, waiting for the MRI on Tuesday. We have the draft going on. And then coming out of the break, we were facing the Rays, the Padres, the Phillies, the Mets, the Brewers. It was crazy for those 2 weeks. But our run differential at the time, and it's very, very similar to 2015 Toronto, relative to the other teams in the division, was strong. We were ahead of those teams. Now, for a lot of reasons, we were underperforming. Guys were slow starters. But with 60 games left or more, we had enough games left, and we had still been competitive. And I knew that realistically, we weren't going to be able to add significant players till we got to the end of July. And it was, how do we get to the end of July? How do we come out of this break with these 2 weeks of games? And I remember calling, I knew that very few teams are really motivated to sell at that point, but Jed Hoyer with the Cubs had come out, I think, 2 weeks earlier and basically said, I'm selling, I'm ready to go. He told the media that, so I called him and I basically said, look, we've lost Acuna, we've lost Ian Anderson. I know the minute we get back from the break, and I know during the break, our players are going to be thinking, who's going to be sold? We're going to start tearing this down. We have a really important stretch of games. We definitely are still in this thing. I'm going to add an outfielder, and I'm going to make some deals one way or the other. In the next 4 or 5 days, I am coming away with a player or players. And I was very transparent with him. I said, look, if I have to give a little more right now to get a deal on the board no later than Friday morning, I will do it. So he knew I was serious about it, and we talked. I mean, we had very little time over the All-Star break. I'd gone back to Canada at the time at about 48 hours with my family because they had gone back early, but spent all the time doing that. And even when I did my media conference call on the Thursday night, it was very important for me to put it out there that we are going to look to continue to add. So we got Jock Peterson, and I knew from a clubhouse standpoint what he brings, but it was going to tell all of our players. There wasn't going to be, are you trading Charlie Morton? Are you going to start selling? Are you going to start tearing it down? And then we added Stephen Vogt the next day, and I was honestly trying to make a deal a day if I could, just continue to pump life into the team. Now, how it was going to work, were we going to win the division, were we going to get hot? No idea about that, but it definitely felt like the right thing to do, and we definitely had a chance, and there was no doubt about doing that.
But you know, I'm just thinking, Alex, you're saying, like, obviously, look, Acuna is not just a guy, right, that you lose, obviously. You know, you lose a superstar. You had the situation with Ozuna. Soroka, you never got, well, you thought he was coming back, and then he blew out the Achilles again. Like, you had a bunch of stuff that, you know, was happening where you could have taken a different path, I guess, and said, look, that's just not in the cards this year. And you were, you know, what, 4 games out or something, but the division was there. I get that part. The division was very much there. But how did you communicate, like, when those things happened to the team? How did you communicate, you know, down to the people, you know, the people you work with, but also up to ownership that no, we're going to take a shot at this. We're going to go for it, even though, you know, we seem to be, you know, under a black cloud right now.
Yeah. So I was asked that question. Hey, if things, it's, you know, at one point, what is the thought? What's the plan? I mean, I was, so our minor league teams are very close to Atlanta. So one of them is in Rome, which is about an hour away. And I was at the Rome affiliate, and there was a photo of Freddie Freeman and Jason Hayward and Craig Kimbrell. And so I sent it to Freddie at the time, and I made a joke about it. And he said, hey, so where did you get that? And I said, I'm in Rome. And we were just going back and forth on text. And he said, you know, why are you in Rome? I said, you know, I'm coming to see some of our young players because I think we still have a shot at this thing, and I still want to try to add. But I think obviously we have to trade some of our young players. I knew some of them were going to be in Rome. And, you know, at the time he was like, well, that's going to be a challenge. We have so many holes. We have so many needs. And he was right about that. But I think there was a few components. We scaled back payroll in the offseason, obviously, with COVID and so on. We lost a lot of our depth. Attendance, our financial outlook improved significantly from November of 20 to July of 21. And our chairman, Terry McGuirk, came to me and said, look, our financial outlook is much better. So if there's an opportunity to make the club better, and that's what you want to do, and that's what you believe in doing, you have the dollars to go and do that. And that was huge, huge for me. And at that point, I just went to work and with our group. And look, we weren't going to replace Acuna by himself, or like you talked about, who Oscar Arnaud was throwing the ball where. Travis d'Arnaud was out for a long period of time. Soroka, like you talked about, obviously Marcelo Zunas as well. But no one player is going to replace any of those guys. But if we got a collection of players, just on the aggregate, we should be better. And we were already keeping our heads above water. We were capable of a lot more. And again, even our expected wins and things like that were much lower, were much higher than what we had done. And the guys had got off to really slow starts. And eventually you felt like that was going to turn around by the end of the year. And we knew we would get d'Arnaud back in August and Ian Anderson back in August and Noah back in August. So if we can keep adding to the club, the last 6-7 weeks of the year, we have a chance to really go on a run. And, you know, besides the fact it's the right thing to do. You know, we weren't 20 games out. We weren't a terrible club. We weren't playing well. But there was upside there if we could add the right players.
Yeah, and you had a player the caliber of Freddie Freeman, which is always a good thing when he can hit a home run like he did yesterday against one of the toughest pitchers there is, righties, lefties, but especially lefties. So I saw you in a television interview yesterday on the field with your kids, and you talk about soaking this thing in more this year, considering what you've been through, what everybody's been through, and just, you know, absorbing those moments more? Like, how important was that yesterday for you to have your family with you to celebrate on the field?
Yeah, you know, I think going to L.A., they were very family-oriented. And not to say Toronto wasn't, but even to a whole other level overall. And I think, you know, we didn't have families traveling with us in Toronto when I was there. And we started doing that in L.A. And, again, this is not to, you know, this is more of a compliment to L.A. It's not that, you know, obviously you learn from experiences, and if you go places and you see things you like. But just the way families were treated, the family room and so on. And I had a young family at the time that obviously moved from Canada to California, which was a massive change for them, for the kids, for my wife and so on. And seeing how we were embraced by Andrew Friedman and his family and the people at the Dodgers and everything that they did there. And I took that with me. It was really impactful. And when I came to Atlanta, one of the first things I wanted to do was I went to see what the family room was in Atlanta. And it was really small. And I remember saying, we needed to expand it. And if that meant that we had to take money out of team payroll, I felt that was critically important to do. We didn't have a staff from a family standpoint. We have two people that we hired that are full-time, that are just dealing with players' families across the board. I think, again, at the end of the day, when you're trying to get players, the dollars are ultimately going to rule. But when it's a tie and it's close, I think some of those things are important. And we all go through a lot. We're away from our families. They go through a lot. So for them to experience some of those things, I think it's really important. Because sports are great. They're great in so many ways, but they're hard on families across the board, whether it's players and staff. And for them to be out in the field and to experience it and to enjoy it, I think is really important.
So your reward for all this is you get to face either a 106-win team or a 107-win team.
Yeah.
So that's it's been a long time since an Atlanta team played in the World Series. You know, you guys have been there. You've been close. You've been in the postseason. Alex, how do you feel looking ahead to either the Dodgers or the Giants now?
Yeah, you know what? You realize the more years you get to experience it is it's not always the best team. I thought our 2019 team was amazing, and obviously 2015 in Toronto I thought was a great club. And again, we lost to the Cardinals in the DS, and obviously we lost to the Royals in the CS, but I think who's playing well at the right time, guys that step up and so on. And obviously both of those guys, I work with both of them. They're two of my best friends in the game, and Andrew Friedman, Farhan Zaidi, and I spoke to both guys. And I have a Braves hat, and I want to do what's right for the club, but I care for both guys, friends with them for life and their families and so on. And they're great. I'm really grateful for the fact that I got to work with them for two years. It was huge for me in so many ways. But again, look, no doubt, they had great years, but the Brewers had a great year as well. And just in a short series, anything can happen at any time. You look at what happened to the Rays. They're a great club. They're a great run organization. You guys see them all the time. You get into a series, anything can happen. So at this point, I like the way our rotation lines up. Our offense without Jorge Soler now is obviously that's certainly a huge hit. And our bullpen is starting to throw the ball a lot better as well. So I think a lot of things, we started to advance, and I just found out today, Atlanta, for the city of Atlanta at least, they haven't been back to the CS since 2001. You know, we had got there a year ago, but we didn't have any home games, and it wasn't the same. So for the city and for the community to finally have a CS game in Atlanta, it's been 20 years. It's a big deal, and I'm certainly proud of that as well. But, you know, again, you get to the Giants and the Dodgers, and I'm sure people will look at the win totals and say that we probably don't have a shot. And I think a lot of people felt that way when we played the Brewers. But I think we have a good rotation in the playoffs. I mean, that's what happened to us a year ago as well. If you pitch, you're going to be in each game.